Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The God parable of the prodigal son in today's gospel is really maybe among the most well-known texts in Scripture. Beloved, it's just so embracing. It gives us really the most pure and proper image of repentance. To really understand it, we need to place it in the context of its chapter, the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, because it's very important what our Lord is doing there. He gives three parables in the 15th chapter, and they're all initiated by an exchange that he has with the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus is going around, as always, being with the sinners and tax collectors and the sort of the unsavory people of the culture. And the Pharisees confront him on this. They don't like it. A good rabbi shouldn't be hanging out with those sorts of people. And it's bothersome to them pretty clearly because they're trying to follow around Jesus, and then that means they need to be in the context of these unsavory people. So it's this sort of internal conflict for them, and they criticize Jesus, and he says that the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And then he gives these three parables. The first parable is a shepherd has 100 sheep. He loses one, he leaves the 99 and goes gets the one, brings it back, and then has this big party. Elderly woman has 10 silver coins. She loses one. She stops everything, sweeps the house, cleans everything until she finds it. And then she invites all the neighbors over and has a party. Both of these, we have the clear image of the Son of Man going out to find that which was lost, just as he's been doing ever since Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit and hid behind a tree, and God came looking for them. So, really, the most prominent theme in this section here, the 15th chapter, is God is relentlessly coming out and looking for us. He loves us so much, he won't let us go. He won't let us just kind of wander off on our own, get lost. You might say, well, that's not what happens in the parable of the prodigal son. The father lets him go and he's just gone. Nobody goes and chases after him. But that's because our Lord wants to make clear that unlike a shepherd going and looking for a sheep or a woman finding her lost coin, when Christ comes to find us, we have to respond. A sheep doesn't respond to the shepherd in the sense of having a choice to run away further, and the coin doesn't get up and run away once found. But when our Lord comes to find us, to remind us of his presence, to remind us of his great love for us, he doesn't just put us on our shoulders and take us back kicking and screaming. He invites us, he calls us, but he waits for our response. And so the parable of the prodigal son is really that other side of the coin of our Lord searching for us. Our repentance. Repentance just means turning our life toward Christ, responding to Christ's call to us, turning away from whatever distracts us from Christ, turning toward Christ himself. And it's not simply him finding us, but us responding to that finding, which is the occasion for the wonderful celebration in all three of the parables. That's the culmination, in a sense, the focus is the great joy and celebration of this reunion with the one to whom we belong, the shepherd, the pointer, the human being. Belonging, being united with its owner. Now, what the parable teaches us about repentance, about what we have to do, is really very clear, very simple. The prodigal son first came to himself. Second, he remembered what life was like in his father's house. And then third, he returned. You come to yourself, you remember, and you return. These three aspects. This is what repentance is. Coming to ourselves is very important because we are often running from ourselves. St. Anthony emphasizes that we can't know God unless we know ourselves, and it's not some kind of like human effort or analysis. his point is simply that if we're running away from ourselves, whatever it is that we offer to God isn't who we truly are. And so this, whether we run from ourselves by busyness, this is very common, by drugs or alcohol, the internet and computers and social media, whatever it is, socializing, gossiping, there's lots of different ways that we can run and hide from ourselves. And quite strikingly, the elder son could run and hide from himself even though he was in the master's house all those years. He was totally blind to who he truly was. And so being in church, being in the master's house, being in the synagogue, being in your prayer corner, doesn't automatically mean that you're not running from yourself. So this first call for us is to kind of get off the treadmill. Figure out what it is that is our hiding, like Adam and Eve behind trees and fig leaves and words. Maybe words are the worst, that we hide behind words. Most commonly judging others, criticizing others. So we have to stop this and come to ourselves. And then we have to remember, we had this beautiful hymn that was introduced at this time of the Triodion, this time of the church year, last night, when Israel was taken captive into Babylon. In Psalm 136, I think, this begins with, "By the waters of Babylon, we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion." When we remembered Zion. So the prodigal son got to this point where there was really nothing in his life that provided any hope whatsoever. And in this crisis, he remembered Zion. He remembered his father's house. So he sat down and wept. Each and every human being created in the image of God is given this internal memory. And indeed, what it is that we're running from is, in a sense, precisely that memory, precisely that awareness of where we truly belong, that awareness of we were created for communion with the Creator, for communion with each other. We were created for love. And love requires this profound vulnerability and openness and transparency to the other person, this tremendous lowering of ourselves to be in service and receptive to the other person. We want to cover that up and run from it. We don't want to be lowly. We want to be strong and mighty and prideful. So this coming to ourselves opens the door for the memory. And we have to sit down and we have to remember. Take the time, not just a fleeting thought, a passing moment, but what it is that we were really created to be and who we truly are. And then we have to return. We have to go back. In the case of somebody who's never been in the church or left the church, we need to come back to church. We have to go to our prayer corner, or come to confession. But again, these external expressions can be just as superficial as life of the elder son in his father's house. So however important they are, and they are important, they have to be, this movement, this return has to be arising from this inner return. It's not that the external is unimportant, but its importance relies on the internal. There are many different ways in which the Holy Fathers talk about this, and these three aspects of coming to ourselves, remembering, and returning. But I don't know of any that are more beautiful than those given by Mark the Ascetic, who's a 5th century saint. who talks about forgetfulness in really wonderful and beautiful ways. I wanted to share a few quotes from him that sort of weave these three themes together of coming to ourselves, especially remembering and returning. St. Mark says, "Let all involuntary suffering teach you to remember God, and you will not lack for occasion for repentance." In other words, involuntary suffering means bad things are happening to you. I don't know if somebody is late and you're delayed, and or you're in a traffic jam, or you catch an illness, or your whole life is in upheaval because of the coronavirus. Whatever it might be, you know, you're not happy with how your children are behaving, or you're not comfortable with how the neighbors behave, or whatever it is. Some terrible thing is, or not so terrible things happen to you, it's involuntary suffering. You didn't ask for it. That sort of thing permeates our lives day in and day out. And if we let that be the occasion for remembering God, then we'll have lots of opportunities to return to Him, to repent, to return to Him. So this is what happened to the prodigal son. He went through trouble and trouble and trouble and trouble. His life was a mess. He even got to the point where he wanted to eat the food that the pigs were eating. So it would be nice if we didn't wait that long, if with the little troubles of life, we return to God. Because it really is trials and afflictions which God uses to wake us up, to remind us of Him, to say, "Don't forget me." Sometimes people feel bad for turning. I only turn to God when things are going wrong. And I think, like, well, rejoice, because maybe the other option is you don't return to God at all. So sure, it'd be wonderful if we return to God when things are going well, but there's plenty of times when things are not going well, and those are reminders from God for us to return to Him. That makes us wise. St. Mark says that distress, troubles, reminds the wise of God, but it crushes those who forget Him. If you think of the different trials that people face, and especially the coronavirus, that really some people seem to be just flourishing and some people feel crushed by it. Yeah, so in our lives we have to not let ourselves try to endure these trials alone, but to turn, make them be the occasion which we turn to God. Now we have the single most important thing that St. Mark says in this regard. At times when you remember God, increase your prayers so that when you forget Him, the Lord may remind you. It all really comes down to this. We don't remember God in the sense that, oh, I remember God, isn't that good of me? I wish I would do it more often. When we remember God, it's really quite simply the case that He reminded us of Him. He tapped us on the shoulder. He got our attention. And what St. Mark is saying is that at that critical moment, the prodigal son had many, many of these moments in his life when he remembered what life was like in a fleeting second, and he turned away from it. And so the trials increased and increased, but St. Mark is saying, every time you feel that little tap on your shoulder, that little prick of your conscience, increase your prayer. Stop what you're doing. Go to the prayer corner. Do a prostration. Cross yourself. Say the Lord's Prayer. Increase your prayer at that moment. Why? Because that sensitizes you to the awareness of God reminding you of Him. You can't remind yourself of God, but God can remind you that He's there with you, that He loves you. And we can become dull and callous to His reminders, or we can be sensitized and aware of them. And St. Mark is telling us that the way that we become sensitized and aware is simply by increasing our prayer. Lord, thank you for reminding me of you. I can't even remember you on my own, but you loved me so much you came out after me. You searched for me the way a good shepherd searches for a lost sheep, and I'm lost again. Just go on like that, whatever comes to mind. Say your own words. Say the Lord's Prayer. Say Psalm 50. Say whatever it is that is alive that redirects your attention toward God for a sustained period of time, because you're trying to, as it were, as much as you can, capture this precious divine moment, this mystical interchange with the God who loved you so much and came and pulled you out from behind the tree. And you want to willingly come and follow. And St. Mark goes on to say, reveal yourself to the Lord And for man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And so when God reminds you of him, you reveal yourself to God. Knowing love, eternal life isn't simply knowing God, but it's being known by him. It's us revealing ourselves to him. It's us saying, Lord, I've been running. I don't want to be running from myself, from you. Lord, I've been troubled in this or that sort of way. So what we have to reveal to God are not excuses for why we're not measuring up, but what we're really, truly, and genuinely going through on the inside. Forgetfulness, St. Mark says, has no power over us. Forgetfulness has no power over us. But it acquires power in proportion to our negligence. And again, exactly what he means. God pricked your conscience, you ignored it. You were negligent. So you got a little more callous. God pricked your conscience, you ignored it. So you got a little more callous. In this way, we're giving forgetfulness power over us. It doesn't have any power in and of itself because God can break through and reveal himself to us. But if we, through negligence, become so hardened and callous to God's intervention, well, then we just handed power over to forgetfulness. And then finally, he recommends that we do good when we remember. So that, and what you forget will be revealed to you. Do not surrender your mind to blind forgetfulness. So if we do good, if we remember someone and we say, oh, I'll call them later in the day. Oh yeah, I didn't do my prayers, but I'll do them later in the night. And, oh, maybe I can write an email to so-and-so and brighten their day. Here's somebody who is suffering in some way and maybe they could use just a small little handout. I'll do that tomorrow. I'll write the letter tomorrow. I'll respond to this need next week. Again, it's precisely what St. Mark is telling us that callouses us. It makes us like the prodigal was when he wanted to leave his father's house, and it makes us like the elder son was while he lived in his father's house. Totally unaware. The elder son was given half, or divided whatever the proportions were, at the time that the prodigal left. He was given his father's possession. And then his father says, what do you mean I didn't kill the fatted calf for you? Everything that's mine is yours. I already gave it to you. But he was totally blind to all that he had been given because he let himself be calloused. He let himself hide and run instead of remember. So he never thought he had to return. So this is our calling in these very simple ways. Stop the running. Remember the God who created us and return to him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.